Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by his name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. Welcome to Sky's Revival Radio. We are all about revival, and we are about old-fashioned revival that comes from the old-fashioned gospel. We believe the gospel is the word of God and that we all need to get back to it. So we direct people everywhere to turn back to the gospels, to read the gospels for themselves. We are doing a study on the gospel of Matthew right now. And it has teeth to change our lives. It exposes the hidden areas of our heart that we have become insensitive to or blind to. It exposes all the inner workings of our heart. And as we bring those to the Lord in repentance, our lives become radically transformed. This is real revival. When we get serious with God, when we get our hearts cleaned by the Holy Spirit, this is real revival. So turn with us. We're going to the Beatitudes today. We are going to revisit, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We're revisiting it, because there's too much in this verse to cover in just one lesson. One element that becomes so clear is that we are to God the same as our thoughts. What we think is what we are to God. And that is what Jesus is addressing here. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, in the thoughts of their heart, not in appearance or outward form, but inwardly. That means whatever the condition of our thought life is the condition of our soul. When God looks at us, he's looking straight through us and he's seeing the thoughts of our heart. Our thoughts are our heart. If anyone is still struggling to come to grips with the reality of their sinfulness, just get this one concept firmly in your mind. Our thoughts are how we truly appear before God. When we look at each other, we see the outside and we look like a great looking bunch. But God sees right through us and he sees the thoughts of our hearts. We can only imagine what it would be like if our thoughts could be seen by everyone. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's just imagine we have a state-of-the-art video mind monitor strapped on our head, which displays our every thought for all the world to see. And first understand this. That's what God sees already. Now imagine with this state-of-the-art monitor, everyone can see what's going on inside of us. Let's start by imagining that a neighbor comes to visit. While they're pouring out their heart about their struggles, we're sitting there with a concerned look on, listening with compassion, and then click, the monitor turns on and displays our thoughts. Man, this person sure talks a lot. I've heard this story 1,000 times. I've got so much to do. Imagine what an unfriendly thing it would be and how hurt they would be. And this happens to us all. And God does not see the body that's sitting there looking concerned. He sees what's going on in the thought monitor. Or let's imagine this. Say a couple is out for a romantic evening with a nice dinner, a real intimate time. Then the wife happens to see a good-looking guy walk past her sitting at another table. Or is a very good-looking waitress that's taking their order. Everything is going wonderfully until, click, the monitor turns on and every thought pops right up there on the screen. Imagine what that would do to the other person. It would destroy them. But God sees the heart all the time. Or what if we do some act of kindness and someone says, "Wow, that was really great of you." You're standing there smiling, then click, "Well, you know, I guess I am pretty good." Or let's take it a little closer to home. Let's say we're in church. Everyone is in prayer and has the look of devotion to God, and then click, the monitors turn on. Wow, there's no telling what might be on our screens. Just imagine what we look like to God. Anything could be going on there. Critical thoughts, lustful thoughts, thoughts about the game that's going on right after church, thoughts that are a million miles away from God, thoughts about your business. My guess is that during any given church gathering, only a few people even have their thoughts on God for some of the time. And I don't say that for condemnation. It's to give us a quickening and awakening experience. What would it be like if we were in a prayer meeting and our thoughts were graphically displayed to everyone? What would they see while we look like we're praying? It would be positively scary. But to God, that's what He sees all the time. Now we begin to see why it's blessed to be pure in heart. What we do externally doesn't mean anything. And that's just what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. Obedience from the heart. This distinguishing between how we want to appear and what the thoughts of our heart really are is critical to our growth in the Lord. This is the core issue. Our thoughts are largely uncontrolled. They're wild. They zoom about, and they're generally headed in one direction, down. And anytime we're not exerting energy to capture our thoughts, to take our thoughts captive, as the word says, they are generally naturally heading downwards. When you're spacing out, where do your thoughts go? Do they run to God? Are they lifted up to the promises of God? No, they nosedive straight down. Any thought left unattended goes to evil. So while you're spacing out in prayer, your thoughts will often run to doubt, to depression that God has failed you, or just be on some kind of worldly things that have nothing to do with prayer. So you have to work hard to bring your thoughts to a vital faith. In the book of James, it says, all sin originates in our thought life. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. When sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. That means when we hold on to a sinful thought, that is when sin is conceived. It's not from every thought, just those that we accept or those that we don't resist. We're responsible for every thought that comes into our head. And to make it more difficult, we have an enemy who constantly feeds us vile thoughts. Someone walks by and suddenly lustful thoughts fill our head. Well, it's not sin until we take it into our heart or till we meditate on it. Till we take hold of it, God does not hold us accountable. But if it takes root, meaning that we think about it, we let it sit there, we are liable for it. And if we don't bring it to God and confess it, it will inevitably bring forth sin. It's amazing how true this verse is. If our thoughts turn to sin, it will inevitably lead us to sin. It's a law of the universe. If we allow our thoughts to sin, we will sin. James also says, this is pure religion, to keep ourselves unstained by the world. We're going to talk about that word unstained. Being unstained by sin is not a matter of not committing sin outwardly. That's just plain sin. Being unstained by sin means being pure in our heart. That is, that we have not allowed sinful thoughts to remain in our brain. This is truly being unstained by the world. Now, the most common thing for us today in our society is that we are stained by the world as we partake of our worldly entertainment. We're not actually sinning. We're not actually killing someone, but we're sitting there and we're enjoying watching it. In that, we become stained by the sin of murder. As we listen to worldly music or worldly Christian music, it's the attitude in it that stains us. Yes, I said worldly Christian music because it's become very hip today to try to outdo the world in worldliness, and we copy those groups that have openly sold their souls to the devil, and we try to make it Christian. Even if the words are seemingly okay, there's an attitude in it that's very worldly. Many times it's an attitude of pride or self-pity. It's all about how much they've gone through, how much they've been through. Well, that's not the Christianity described in the Bible. It says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We have victory in Jesus. We are to rejoice continually. Let praise be on our lips. Let us meditate on the faithfulness of God. Let our minds dwell on these things. We're not to be just barely hanging on in the midst of our difficult world, in the midst of all of our pool of self-pity. So the heart attitude of much nominally Christian music is contrary to Scripture. We are to overcome. We should have a walk of joy. We should be full of light and life. We must be able to bring that light to those who are hurting. We shouldn't be commiserating with them. Yeah, I know how hard it is. It's tough for me too. We should have something to offer. We have something the world doesn't have. We should have something that doesn't look like the world or smell like the world. We should be radically different. As we partake of worldly music, worldly sounding music, and worldly entertainment, we lose that vitality. We become stained. That's why there's so little victory in the church today. As we travel from coast to coast in the U.S. and Canada, you'd be surprised how little victory there is. There's no joy, there's no song, there's no praise, there's no faith. It's because everyone indulges in worldly entertainment, and as we indulge in these things, our souls become stained. It sucks the life out of us. We become stained by the flaunting of sin in our entertainment, by the flaunting of God's laws, by the appearance of getting away with it, and that it's fun to break God's laws. Nearly every movie has something in it that flaunts God's laws and makes it look like fun. From romantic comedies to horror movies, we can't watch these things with impunity. It stains our souls. When it stains our souls, we become big losers. Not only do we lose our fragrance before the Lord, we lose our joy. As you join with us and taking a commitment to turn away from these things, to be unstained by the world, be prepared for a battle. You will be accosted by people making fun of you, telling you that you have become a fanatic, that you've become legalistic, because you're not partaking in the same things that they do. Well, when they come at you like this, just look at their lives and see if they're coming from a position of victory or joy or praise as they criticize you. Look at their lives. You cannot help but be stained by that kind of contact with the world. And we're doing it voluntarily. We've sought it out. We've willfully sat before it. We have become a partaker of the sin that is in it. We've willfully listened, so we're stained. And this stain is like a veil between us and God, so we don't experience the victory because of this veil. Not only are we losers because we give God no pleasure and because we have no joy, we're also robbed. God has made this world to be a window to heaven. He made it to be supremely wonderful, and it is a delight. All around us, He has made thousands of lawful pleasures, all kinds of little creatures that do nothing but entertain us. All God's creatures are very humorous, and they are a delight to the soul. The blazing leaves in the fall reflect His glory. He thought of making trees that have maple syrup in them. And what about flowers? Let an evolutionist explain flowers. They have no purpose but to delight our souls. They reflect unspeakable beauty, even in the weeds and the wildflowers. And we have magic dirt. Put a seed into the ground and it becomes 100 seeds. Dirt and water and sun produces miracles. Now, when our souls become stained, the first things that happen are that we lose this ability to see God and the beauty of His creation. Remember the verse said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Conversely, if we are impure in heart because of the things that we dwell on, we will also lose our ability to see God and the beauty of His creation. So when I say that we are robbed, that's what I mean. The glory of nature becomes invisible to us when we indulge in the corruption of the world. Ever notice that there's no kids playing outside anymore? I notice it all the time. It's because they've become stained. So many of them, from being young toddlers, have lost the innocence and don't see the beauty of God in nature, because even their cartoons are polluting their souls. And so they take no delight at being outside or climbing trees or building stuff. They don't see the beauty and they can't take delight in it. They become stained even as little children. And the first thing we lose is that enjoyment of God's beauty. But as we begin to get cleaned up by God, the things we didn't notice before begin to be alive to us. The beauty of God starts to unfold to us. We begin to be enraptured by the glory of God in His creation. God fills us up. God never intended us to be empty. He doesn't demand our worldly pleasures so that we become empty. He asks us to give up some wretched thing that's leading us to hell, and in place of it, He gives us a world of enjoyment. That's God's agenda, is to bless your life and to fill you with joy. So when He asks something of us, it is always for our good. He's doing it so your life can be full. As we partake of these worldly things, we immediately forfeit the joy of God. The world gets such a grip on us. And even though we're not murdering people per se, we're watching people being murdered and enjoying it. We're watching it for entertainment. It's completely polluting our souls. Pure in heart equals pure joy. The more of one, the more of the other. It is a huge work to get our thoughts under control. It's a life work, but God gives us levels of victory. If you ignore this work of cleansing your thought life, you will never experience the blessing of God. But if we treat it just like any other sin, all we have to do is come before God and repent and say, "I'm sorry, Lord, my thoughts were just running wild. Please forgive me." And that's how everything begins. I'm not saying this to condemn us, but to get us to become transparent before God. Just pray a simple prayer like this: "Lord, please help my thoughts and help me fix my thoughts on You." That's how to start. He's pleased with that start and He gives us a little taste of victory. His peace is toward us, but only if we repent. Ignore this lesson and your life will become so dull. Without letting the Lord do a heart cleansing, a cleansing of our thoughts, the thoughts of our heart, we're only going through the motions of living. Let's go before God and pray. Lord Jesus, we see your word exposing the thoughts of our heart, and we see how polluted our thoughts are so often. And Lord, even when we're sitting in your house, even when we're going through the motions of serving you, Lord, our thoughts are running wild. And so we take the authority you have given us now that our thoughts would be taken under control. And we repent and ask your forgiveness, that our thoughts would be pleasing to you, that we would take every thought captive, and that our thoughts would be turned to the things that are pure and beautiful and good and lovely, that our hearts would be lifted up to where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, please deal with us this week and do a great cleansing work as we read your word this week and meditate on it. Lord, may you do a great cleansing work in us all. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and it's available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly throughout Northeastern U.S. and Canada, as well as all across the country on our Sky Family mailing list and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.